A short time ago, two of my children were in a triathlon. John Allen had gone to a water park with Joan and Lance and the other youth. And early in the morning, 6:45, I think we had to be there, Allison and I got Christian and Anna to the starting place for this triathlon. Well, we had entered each of them into this race, and they each had a separate race for their age group. And Christian's group would go first, and they would swim in this pool up and down this certain area. And then he would get to his station where his bike was, waiting on him in this rack. And he had a towel laid out with his helmet there and his shoes, and he would run over there, and then he sat down and got, I don't even know if he had time to dry off, but you got that shirt on that had that number on it, put those shoes on as fast as you could, got that bike, put that helmet on, and then he's off, biking. The second part of the triathlon, the swimming, the biking. So he rode that bike and got back to the same spot he had started, put that bike up, and started running. And then he ran that race and ran to the point that he was supposed to and came on back and went through the finish as we were waiting with video cameras. And he finished. He did it. He did a great job. And Anna, came time for her race. Same thing, except hers was longer. She had to go up and back and up and back in the pool and get out and get to her station and throw everything on and get on that bike and go longer and come back and run. And they both received a medal just like this. I meant to bring them both. I'm not sure where the other one is. But for finishing that triathlon and both doing such a good job with all three of those things, as painful as it was, and Anna let us know when she came around that last thing, she didn't like triathlons too much at that point. But they got this medal. Now, they didn't come in first. They did great. They finished. And I'm so proud of them to finish a triathlon. But they had one first place prize for each of these races, and it was a sum of money. I don't remember how much it was, but one person would get first place and would win this sum of money. And you know, we weren't serious enough about it, were we, Christian? We just heard about it and we said, "Oh, let's do it." And so we signed them up and we got there, and you know, we helped them get their stuff laid out and all that. But then, you know, I realized when I got there, I forgot to train them. Yeah. If we're going to take this first prize, I forgot to train them. But we just wanted to have fun. We just wanted to do it and finish the race and get this medal. Now, I want you to contrast that with what you've just observed in these last few weeks with these Olympics. Now, each of these Olympic athletes are after, you know what? The gold. They want that first place medal. Some of them get very upset if they get the silver. They'll be crying if they get the silver. They are after this gold medal. And they are very serious. And they spend hours and many times lifetimes training in attempt to bring home the gold medal, first place. And so, of course, they're in the Olympics. They enter the race and they are racing to win. They want to win. They want to bring home the gold. And they have trained diligently. I've heard of Olympic athletes. I've heard of a schedule before of a young person still in school, in high school, being at the pool at 5 o'clock in the morning every day during school, swim, train for a couple hours, come back, eat some breakfast, get a shower, go to school, come back directly after school, train some more, get some homework done, go to bed, wake up five, be at the pool at 5 o'clock in the morning again. You've probably heard some of these training routines. These strict training routines. And it's all to win that gold, to bring home that gold. And you see, when they do it and they bring it home, it's wonderful. They reach their goal. They celebrate. They have all the accolades. They have all the notoriety. And they have the gold. And they can keep that all their lives. And they can show that to their grandchildren. And if they make it that far, their great-grandchildren. But you know what? There will come a time that life ends. And they move on to the next life. And there will come a time when they may be laying in a casket. And they're not there anymore. They've left. They've gone somewhere else. And that medal may be placed around their neck. Maybe in that casket it may be with them possibly. But then it's over. It lasted for a time. But then the next place, they can't enter there wearing any medals, none of the notoriety. It's all gone. None of it lasts. It only lasts for this life, for this period of time. But God tells us that every single one of us will go on existing. We will have consciousness. We will be aware. We will be alive somewhere. And I recently heard someone say, you'll be alive forever somewhere. You'll either be alive and well or you'll be alive in hell. But you will be alive somewhere forever. And I want you to just think for a moment. None of us can grasp eternity. None of us can grasp how long that is. But I just want you to think for a moment about the grass outside this building. And I want you to imagine that you're allowed to pick one blade of grass every 100 years. And God will let you live as long as you need to. And so we all head out and we pick our blade of grass and then you just have to wait. And 100 years later, you're allowed to go pick one more. And so you head out 100 years later. I don't know what we'd look like. Maybe the Lord, He just keeps us how we are, just for this example. And we pick another blade and then we have to wait. And then 100 years later, we pick another blade. Imagine how long it would take to just pick the blades of grass just around the front here. And then, let's say, God says, well, now move to the side of the building where those trees are. And then, after those years, God says, okay, move to the back. Now, all that's not even the beginning of eternity. You would have to then pick all the grass in Alabama, and then you'd have to go to Mississippi and Florida, and then you'd have to go all over the U.S. picking grass every 100. You'd have to go all over the world, and then you still would just be at the beginning of eternity. And so if you think about it for a moment, we are all going to exist and live that long, and we will be in one of two places, alive and well in paradise with the Lord, with Jesus Christ, with the angels, or we'll be in hell. We'll be eternally separated from God. And so, when you think about the medals of this life and you think about winning the gold and accomplishing things here in this life, it's great, but it's just for a time. When you compare it to all eternity, how long you'll live, it's so minute. It's maybe a half of one of those blades of grass. That's how long you get to enjoy the medal from that race. But what if you could take the gold medals with you? What if you could take that medal and all the accolades with you? And what if they would last forever? As long as we've talked about, for all eternity, you could have these medals and these accolades. Wow, now that would really be something to shoot for, wouldn't it? You see how much people go through just to get the temporary medal that's half a blade of grass. How much harder would you push? How much further would you go to get a medal that would last for all eternity? You'd always have it. It'll never end. Well, that's what God is telling us to do here. That's what God is telling us this morning. He's telling us that you are in a great race. I mentioned it earlier in Hebrews 12. You are in a great race, and Jesus is the finish line. Therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders. There's all these witnesses. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's a specific race that God has for you. That He wants you to run through this life. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us throw off these things that hinder. And let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You see, He's the finish line. He's the goal. We need to keep our eyes focused on Him as we run this race called the Christian life. Well, there's three things about this race that I just want you to notice. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 9 and look at verses 24 through 27. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one beside you in the pew there. And if you're new at this, 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. That's that last third of your Bible. And you turn through, you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep going. And you'll see Acts and Romans, and then you'll see Corinthians. You want 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Listen to what God tells us here. Listen to His challenge to you this morning, to each of us in this race. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You see, in this great race with Jesus as the finish line, the first thing that you need to make sure you do is enter the race. You need to make sure you enter the race. We see that in verse 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? To be in the race, you have to enter. To get the prize, you have to enter. When Christian and Anna, my two of my children, raced in this triathlon, we had to enter them in the race. My wife had to go online and she had to see how to do it. She had to see how much it costs. And she had to do all these things, and she had to pay the money. And then the day before the race, we had to go to this certain location and learn more about it. And then the morning of the race, we had to be there at a certain time. They had to set up those stations. They had to get marked, and they had their number written on their body and tagged. They had this other tag that they had to wear. You see, they entered the race. You see, the great race that God has for every human being, the great race that He desires you to run with Jesus as the finish line, you've got to enter it. You have to enter the race. And so the question for you this morning is, have you entered the great race? Well, how do you enter? How do you sign up? Well, for this great race, you become a believer. You become a Christian. Once you're a Christian, you've entered the race. How do you do that? Well, you admit your sin. You admit that you are a sinner, just like every human being, what God says. You believe in the penalty for sin is death and hell. You believe that God sent Jesus Christ to come for you to rescue from that sin penalty. You believe that Jesus, who was God in the flesh and came down, you believe that He went to the cross and He took all your sins with Him and all the sin of the world, and He took your punishment there. The punishment of death and hell, the wages of sin is death that you're supposed to pay. You believe that He paid it for you on that cross. That He paid for all of your sins. That He took your death penalty for you. And then you believe that He's raised from the dead. That He died for your sins and then He's raised from the dead. And then, finally, you make it personal and you call on Him. After you believe all that, you put your faith in Him. You call on Him. You go to Jesus, you and Him, and you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need You. I'm calling on You. I put all my faith in You. I'm not going to trust in anything I can do to get myself to heaven. I'm trusting Your way, Jesus, You, what You did for me. So I call on You and I ask You to save me, Jesus. Come into my life. And you see, once you do that, He comes in. And the Bible says you become born again. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And ding, 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 you've entered the race. That's how you enter. Now you're in the great race. And so every person here this morning, you're either already in the race, you've entered it, and you are running the race that God has for you, or you are not in the race, and you're wasting your time because God has the race for you. But you're running your own race. You're going your own way. You see, God says, run with perseverance, the race marked out for you. See, He has a race for you. First step is to come to Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And you see, some of us here this morning are running our own race. We're just doing our own thing. We're going where we want to go. We're going to live the life, this life, however we want to live it. And we don't even enter the race. There's no hope for the finish. The end is death. It's hell. Separation from God for all eternity. And so, first of all, this morning, please make sure you're in the race. Please make sure you've entered the race. And in a moment, you can do that. You can do that in your seat right now. You can cry out to the Lord in your heart right now, and you can enter the race just like that. But make sure you've entered the race. Have you entered the race? Next, once you know you're in the race and you have entered the race, you're trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you've trusted in Him, He's come into your life. The next thing that we notice here in this passage is win the race. Once you're in the race, race to win. Win the race. We see that in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So if you're already in the race, if you're already a believer and you know that, you know you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're in the race. The next question for you is, are you running to win the race? Do you realize that you need to win the race? Do you realize that You need to run in such a way as to be the one winner. Of all these Christians here, of all believers, you're in the race. You need to be the one winner. Live the Christian life in such a way that you win. That you win the race. That you're first. That you get the gold. That you get the cash prize. Run in such a way, God tells us. Only one wins the race. Run in such a way as to win the race. And in your own time, you can back up a little bit. You may want to do this when you get home. You might want to back up a little bit at 1 Corinthians 3. And you'll see some of the things I'm talking about here. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 15 says that if you've entered the race, basically, you have the foundation's been set for you. The foundation is Jesus Christ. He's the finish line. He's the foundation of the Christian life. And God tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 that everybody, if you're a believer, if you've entered the race, you are building on a foundation. All of us are building. And you see, Jesus is that foundation. And at the end of all time, our works will be shown for what they are. Whatever we build on Jesus, once you know Him, you've come into a relationship with Him, your race will be judged. Your works, so to speak, how you've lived for Him, that'll be judged in the end. And you see, it says in that passage that some have built with gold and silver and precious stones. Those are the ones running the race well. They're going to win running the race well. But then it says that also you could build with wood, hay, and stubble. And you see, our works will be tested by fire in the end. And only those things that last, when we run the race well, when we're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we do what He wants us to do, that's the gold, silver, those precious jewels. And when we run well like that, you see, when our works are tested by the fire in the end, at the judgment of all the believers, you see, our works will be tested. And if they're gold, silver, and precious, they're going to last forever. You see, that's the gold medals. You get to enjoy those accolades and those medals. You'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded. But you see, if we've lived our Christian life and all we've done is the wood, the hay, and the stubble, and we didn't really care. We're like, well, everybody else can win. I'm just going to make it to the end. As long as I get to heaven, I'll be all right. Just let me in the door. I'll be fine. You see, those works will be wood, hay, and stubble. And it says that they'll be burnt up in the fire and we'll suffer loss. We'll suffer loss. We'll realize the rewards we could have had for all eternity. And now we'll realize we suffer this loss of what we could have had. And it's forever. But we'll be there. We will be there. It says we'll escape with those works. We'll be like one just escaping through the flames, getting in. And so the question for you and for me this morning is, are you running to win the race? Are you running for the gold? Are you running to win the race? Are you gathering up the gold, the silver, the costly stones that you'll have with you forever? And you know what you can do with them? You know what the greatest thing is? Here's the way I like to think of it. Don't get it all as a motivation for yourself. You see, get it so you can give it to Jesus. You see, don't you want to have some incredible? Don't you want to live your Christian life in such a way that you're faithful to Jesus, and you have all this gold, silver, these precious stones, and you can create this crown for Jesus, and then don't you want to just be able to give that to Him, just lay that at His feet? Run in such a way as to win the race. Now finally, if we're going to do that, if we're going to run in such a way as to win the race, what do we need to do? You've got to train for the race. If you want to run to win the race, you've got to train for the race. We see this in 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Remember, we envision the Olympic athlete doing all that training. You know that strict training, 5 o'clock in the morning. And they do it to get a crown that will not last. It'll last this life, and it'll be wonderful in this life. But then we got all eternity after that. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it, if you're a believer and you've entered the great race, and you're racing to win, you do it. You do that strict training. Hopefully, you're entering that strict training because you're competing in the games. And we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Forever. And so, what kind of training are you doing? Are you training for the race? Don't forget to train like I did in the beginning. Are you training for the race? What does it mean to train? Well, in an Olympic athlete, how do you train? Well, you got to have a plan. How many Olympic athletes do you think just wake up in the morning and say, man, I want to win that gold. I think I'll go swim a little bit later. After school, I got up kind of late this morning. Yeah, I might go swim. I probably better watch what I eat too. Might not eat that. You think they train like that? I think they have a plan. I think they meet with their coach and their trainer. I think he has a strict diet for them. He says, you eat this, this, and this on these days. You eat this on these days. You work out here. You be here at this time. You swim this long. You do these strokes. There's a plan. Now you're training for that medal for all eternity. Have you entered that strict training so that you can win the race? Is there a plan? Do you have a plan for winning this race, the Christian life? You got a plan. You have a schedule. Do you have a training regimen? Do you have a carefully thought out plan for growing in the Lord, training for righteousness? Do you have a good coach? This is what mentoring is all about. You got somebody who maybe is a little bit further along than you spiritually. Maybe you could go to that person or pray about it and say, God, would you give me a mentor? Would you give me somebody that could help me get further along? You got a coach? Maybe get you a coach and say, hey, would you mentor me some? Maybe meet with me every now and then. We'll pray together and maybe you can kind of help me grow in my faith. Mentors. Got a good coach. You know, do you have your regimen? Are you here every Sunday, 9 a.m.? Is that one of your regimens in your training? Do you make sure 9 a.m. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in my Bible study group. I'm going to find a Bible study group. I'm going to connect to it. That's going to be my small group of believers. I'm going to be growing with them. We're going to be praying together. People are going to be praying for me. I'm going to be praying for them. And I'm going to get to know that Bible study leader and other Christians. What about that? 10:15, that's another time I'm going to be there. I want to witness better. I'm going to be there at 3:45 Sunday afternoons. That's another thing on my training schedule. I'm going to be there. I'm going to head out and we're going to go share Jesus with people. I'm going to learn to do that better so I can win this race. I'm not just going to be some Christian that just sits back and soaks and enjoys the service and goes home and that's it for the week and I'll come back. No. I won't win that way. I won't outlove all these other Christians here. I won't. Is anybody witnessing more than you? Is anybody praying more than you? Is anybody? No. You win. You be the one people are going to saying, "Hey, would you mentor me some?" And you see, the great goal is, you know, if we're all trying to win the race, what happens? We all love each other in incredible ways. The church functions just how God wants. Because see, the closer we get to Him, the more we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the more we love our neighbor as ourself. And the more we serve Him. The more we discover our giftedness and serve the Lord. And the more we give out of our finances and time and talents and strength. The more we give to the Lord. You see, if you're winning the race, the more you start to do all those things. So it's not like a competition that's going to hurt anybody. It's a thing that's going to help everybody if you're winning the race. And so train for the race. Train for the race. I don't think any Olympic athletes wake up and say, I'm too tired, I'm going back to bed. If they did, there might be some, but they might probably wouldn't win the goal. You see, sometimes we don't feel like doing the spiritual thing. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we wake up and we say, oh man, I just worked all night last night. 10:15, yeah, I know it's on my schedule, but I just don't feel like it. I'm too tired. Well, I think there's a lot of times that Olympic athletes probably don't feel like waking up at 5 in the morning and being in that pool. But you see, the Apostle Paul spoke a little bit about it here. When you don't feel like it, listen to his words right here. Here's how we need to be. Verse 26, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Train for the race. Train for the race. Well, in just a moment, Doug is going to lead us in a song. But I want to say a prayer. And if you feel like you have not entered the race yet today, maybe you feel like you're there, you haven't even entered yet, I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to give you an opportunity. You can call out to the Lord. You can go ahead and enter the race. Make sure you're there, that you've entered the race. And then for the rest of us, consider those questions. How are you doing in this great race with Jesus as the finish line? Have you entered? And then if you've entered, are you running to win the race? Maybe you haven't been. Maybe that's the point you want to change at today. Maybe that's your prayer to the Lord today. Lord, I want to race to win. Help me to do that. Maybe you don't have any kind of training. Maybe you have no schedules. Maybe you don't have a quiet time, a time that you meet with the Lord. Maybe you come here hit or miss. Maybe it's just like, well, I think I'll go to church today. Maybe not next week. I don't feel like it. Maybe there's training that you need. Maybe that's your need this morning. As he leads us in this song, I'm going to pray about that too. You pray about that.